Wisconsin Eye is in Milwaukee. We're doing a newsmaker show with Mordecai Lee. He's a professor at the UW-Milwaukee. He in the Department of Governmental Affairs. And in a previous life many years ago, former member of the legislature. Many years ago, previous life.
I got out when the going was good.
I understand.
And I got out unindicted.
We'll leave that right there. Mordecai, thanks so much for taking the time. We're here because it's just been an amazing historical year in Wisconsin politics, and I'm very interested in your impressions of it. You know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is referred to the arc of history, but let's narrow that. What's your takeaway, number one lesson from the first 7.5 months in this amazing year in Wisconsin politics, please?
My takeaway is that suddenly Wisconsinites woke up in mid-February, and they realized that voting matters, and they realize that state government matters. Because I can tell you from my experience when I was in the state legislature, and then I was an advocate in public policy for the Milwaukee Jewish population, and now as a professor, all my life I've had to tell people, you really should vote. You know, they would think of it like going to the dentist. Oh, do I have to? It's such a burden. My vote doesn't count. There's no difference between parties. So all my life, I was telling people that they ought to vote, and all my life, I was telling people that state government was important. And they'd say, ah, yay. Because to a certain extent in Wisconsin, people don't touch state government in the way that, let's say, city government touches them with police services or with garbage pickup. And so state government tends to be this sort of awkward middleman, middle person. And so, you know, I'd say things in desperation like state parks, you know, state patrol, and you know, it would vaguely ring a bell, but people really didn't get it. And I remember once when somebody told me that she was going to vote for me, and I was so delighted somebody was going to vote for me, and she said, this time I'm going to go all the way down the column of the ballot until I see you. She said, the guy with the weird name. Until I see the guy with the weird name, and I'll vote for you. And I thought that was really emblematic of the typical Wisconsin voter over the last 30 years, that a lot of them didn't go all the way down the ballot. A lot of them sort of were voting out of a sense of duty as opposed to the joy of democracy. And a lot of them really faded out when it came to state government. So all of a sudden, when Governor Walker introduced the bill, the collective bargaining bill, it was like this earthquake or jolt of lightning. I don't even know what analogy to use, but it was like in a split second, all of Wisconsin woke up and said, I've got an opinion about that bill, which means I care about state government, which means my vote counts. And then a couple months later, we have the Supreme Court race, where if you ever need an example of every vote counts, that's the example.
Yes.
So we're living in a time when people are no longer taking democracy for granted, democracy with a lowercase d. They actually want to vote. You know, the impression I got, I live in Alberta Darling's district, and so I was a victim of all these calls.
Thank you for looking all this just to your address. Boy.
And what struck me was that the premise of all the campaign contacts, whether we're talking about phone calls or mailings or TV advertising, the premise was that nobody was undecided. Maybe there's some little old lady who is off the grid who is undecided, but I don't think there are any Wisconsinites who are truly undecided about the collective bargaining bill and Governor Walker and the record of the Republican legislature. So this was a bizarre campaign based on my experience, because my experience was always convince the middle. Mm-hmm. Because in those days, one-third of Wisconsinites generally voted Democratic, one-third generally voted Republican, and one-third were swing
voters. You were fighting for the middle, swing voters.
Right, and I think Tommy Thompson's career is the perfect example, especially how every time he ran for governor, he did better and better in Milwaukee County. Milwaukee County, a Democratic county.
Yes.
He worked at it. He worked at convincing the middle that his reforms, let's say school choice or W-2, that his reforms weren't punitive, right-wing, kind of harsh public policy, but those were reasonable things, that was a positive direction for government. And so Tommy won the middle vote, and every time he ran for governor, he just did amazingly in terms of winning them. All of a sudden, along comes Scott Walker and the collective bargaining bill, and there don't seem to be any undecideds. And so the two campaigns I was exposed to living in Alberta Darling's district were intended to get people so agitated that they were dying to vote, that they would run yelling and screaming to vote, because otherwise the world was going to come to an end.
And it wasn't that these negative attacks, you were at the epicenter of negative attacks, although we've seen them in all the 9 recalls. These negative attacks were not geared to so turn off people that they just said, no way I want to vote. It had the opposite effect? Show me a poll, I'm going there.
I think it had the opposite effect. Okay. I think, you know, TV advertising, generally speaking, goes for the emotional. In this case, I think they were going for the visceral. They were going for some kind of a primal thing within people, so that people would be so agitated that they were mobilized to vote. And so what was so odd about experiencing that campaign is that it was a battle of the bases. It was which campaign can scare their supporters out of their wits more to go to vote. And so even though it was sort of a middling turnout compared to when Alberta Darling won in 2008, sort of the Republican nature of the district showed. It was a Republican tilting district, and it was a Republican tilting result.
Did you recognize either Senator Alberta Darling or Representative Sandy Pasch after all these negative ads?
It was a joke. I mean, it was such a stereotype. It was unbelievable what they were saying. Whether they were talking about Alberta Darling's vote for the budget, the most recent budget, or they were talking about Sandy Pasch's vote for the last Doyle budget.
Yeah.
You know, and they would connect these dots, which essentially said that opponent wanted to kill people. that opponent wanted sick people to die. That opponent wanted kids not to get educated. It was bizarre. It was the worst kind of political advertising.
Have we seen the future, though? Is this going to be the future of major elections in the state of Wisconsin? The state of Wisconsin, where third-party outside groups dump tens of millions of dollars on both sides, and the candidates just go,
Steve, I think it's the future for statewide elections in Wisconsin. I don't think it's the future for...
And are you sorry it is? I mean, are you sad?
Oh, God. I mean, this offends me intellectually. Now, I'm a professor, and you would expect a professor to want to see some public policy position papers and would want people in the corner bar to be talking about position papers, and of course it's not. I didn't think we could sink any lower than the stuff we had been seeing in the last couple of cycles, but we really have found a new bottom in terms of these visceral, hate-filled ads.
And can we go lower yet? Are you aware of any campaigns in any other part of the pockets of the nation?
I'm not aware of any, but never underestimate the skill of political consultants and partisans to find a new low. But think of what the Wisconsin electorate is going to be like for the next decade, now that redistricting has been passed.
Yes.
So races for the state legislature and races for Congress are going to become increasingly less competitive, increasingly one-party districts. So there are going to be fewer and fewer places where the Democrats think they have a chance of winning against a solidly Republican district, or Republicans think they have a chance against a solidly Democratic district. So I don't think we're going to be seeing what we saw in the recall elections for state Senate for the next decade, either for state assembly, state Senate, or Congress.
Okay.
I think what we're going to be seeing is those kinds of ferocious campaigns in our statewide elections, whether we're talking about the president, governor, attorney general, U.S. senator.
Are we going to see government by recall? Do you look for, there's talk about trying to recall a Supreme Court justice, but first and foremost, do you think we'll see the 540,000 signatures gathered to force a recall vote on Governor Walker?
I believe that the results of the earlier recall election, when Alberta Darling won, I had thought that might take the wind out of the sails of the opponents of Governor Walker. But apparently it hasn't. They're not emboldened, but they're still motivated. And from what I hear, regardless of the results of the recalls, regardless of not getting a majority in the state Senate by the Dems, they are planning to go ahead. Now, I have never seen 500,000 signatures on a recall effort. I mean, it's an astounding effort. You know, in California, we're used to reading about, in California, they have propositions. There are professional companies that have signature collectors and stuff like that. Even in California, you don't need 25% of the vote to get a proposition on the ballot. So this is a very high threshold. I'm skeptical they're going to get it. If they get it, I think it'll be a real campaign in the sense that the Alberta Darling Sandy Pash campaign was a real campaign, even though it ended up being a very comfortable margin for the incumbent. Because as a result of what's happened in the last 6 months, I don't think there's a Wisconsinite who does not have an opinion about the collective bargaining bill.
Yes.
And so a recall effort against Governor Walker is tantamount to a referendum on everything he's done, the collective bargaining bill, the budget, everything that came up in the recall elections. And so I think it'd be a fiercely competitive race. Be sort of odd to have a special election on a statewide basis. I think the presumption would have to be that an incumbent goes into any election with an advantage. So I'd guess he'd probably win if it came down to it.
Well, Wisconsin, I had a chance to talk to the governor last Friday, and he had kind of on his kumbaya demeanor. And he said, look, I want to work with Democrats. I've called many Democrats, called Republicans, talking about a fall agenda. So I guess my question, Mordecai, is do you look for him to pick more of these high-profile fights in the fall session, or is he just going to concentrate on a new mining bill and jobs and not pick any new fights of the same level of emotional engagement as he did in the first 7 months?
My guess, and it's purely a guess, is that the answer is no. Of course, we should encourage both Democrats and Republicans to get along, you know, to go out and have a beer. You know, the homework I would give them is that one Democrat and one Republican have to go out for dinner, not to McDonald's, to a slow service place, and can't talk politics for the entire evening. Okay. Just to get to know each other, because they've demonized each other so much. But we've got to think about the reality that the left sees the world one way and the right sees the world another way. And that's always existed in American politics. But that in the last half decade or so, that American politics have become much more ideologized in the rigid sense of the term. So when you and I knew each other, Steve, when I was in the state Senate, of course there were differences between Democrats and Republicans. But sometimes we could find compromises. Sometimes there were ways to work things out. And sometimes when the majority party would pass something, it didn't force the minority party to run to Illinois. So I think we have to see Governor Walker as sort of the gentle face of talk radio and talk TV. I got to know the governor when he was an assemblyman, and he and I used to be on a weekly Sunday morning TV show hosted by Mark Belling in the Milwaukee media market. Mark Belling is an afternoon talk radio guy.
So well known that he occasionally fills in for Rush Limbaugh, excuse me.
Right, exactly. An incredibly talented guy. In all the times that now Governor Walker and I were on that TV show taping a program, it never happened once that Scott Walker disagreed with Mark Belling substantively. But it always happened that Mark used the harsh inflammatory rhetoric of talk radio, and Governor Walker, while agreeing with Mark, always used the more gentle, seemingly reasonable rhetoric. So the reason that I don't think the kumbaya moment is going to happen is that I think the issues that are left on the Republican agenda, and there are some issues still left, are ones for which the same passions will arise. I don't think Governor Walker has become Tommy Thompson.
What issues are still out there on the governor's agenda, the governor and the GOP agenda, Mordecai?
I have no inside information, but I think just looking around other state governments, what's been happening, it seems to me that there are probably at least two high-profile emotional issues. The first one, I think, deals with abortion. The pro-life movement strongly supported Governor Walker and the Republican legislature.
To the point where Planned Parenthood was defunded more than $1 million, excuse me for interrupting.
Right, right. And Alberta Darling, who is in principle pro-choice, was endorsed by the pro-life forces in the most recent recall. I think we're going to be seeing in the fall election, the fall legislative session. Some pro-life legislation that's comparable to what's happened in, I think it's South Dakota, Kansas, where pro-life forces are looking to push the boundaries of Roe v. Wade, looking to push regulation of abortion clinics, regulation of the information that has to be read to someone who is seeking an abortion.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be as controversial as the collective bargaining bill, because every Wisconsinite has an opinion about abortion.
But can I ask this? If the governor's worried about a potential recall vote, why is he going to pick this fight, which would drive up the number who might sign the petition seeking his recall? Why is he going to pick new emotional fights, sir?
Because he's a true believer. He's not Tommy Thompson.
Okay.
He believes in what he says, and he says what he believes. And after all, we didn't see him or the Republican legislature move to the center in the run-up to the recall elections. There was only one slight event like that, and that was the unemployment compensation bill, the issue of one-week waiting or no one-week waiting. To everybody's surprise, the Republican Senate agreed to roll back the one-week waiting period, although then it...
Voice vote, then the Assembly said, no, we ain't buying that, and then the Senate receded.
Right, and that was the only moment in the last 6 months where it seemed like a Republican majority wanted to shorten the list of what people might use against them. But in fact, they didn't. So I think Governor Walker sees himself as the guy who was sent, and I'm not saying by God, but the guy who was sent by a base to accomplish things. And Steve, on the surface level, it might seem unpolitic to pursue controversial issues in the fall session. But if my guess that Wisconsin politics has shifted to a battle of the bases, then it is politic to do it. In other words, if he can mobilize the pro-life forces to be as hot in enthusiasm
as
for
driven,
him,
okay,
as driven as, let's say, school teachers were,
yes,
then I think he views that as a political plus.
What's your second issue?
There wasn't, when I was in the legislature, back when dinosaurs roamed the Capitol
You
Square.
Left in 1989, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So let's partly the...
There were no cell phones. There were no... I had the first PC in the state Senate. I mean, it was a long time ago. In those days in Wisconsin politics, the death penalty, capital punishment, was a very big issue. It would sort of rise and fall in the top 10 lists. And generally speaking, the Democrats in the legislature were against capital punishment, and the Republicans were for it. I think that's going to come back. I think that it's going to be viewed as the moment to do what we believe in. That the most heinous of murders deserve to be killed. And so I think we're going to be seeing that. And not only because the Republican Party, generally speaking, believes in it, but also because it's an inflammatory issue. Most Wisconsinites have an opinion on capital punishment. Often it's derived from their religious convictions, their views of life, their ideologies. So Republicans, besides believing in capital punishment, might view it as another way to mobilize their base.
Well, we spent a lot of time talking about the governor and Republicans. Assess for me, how's the Democratic Party in Wisconsin doing, coming off the recalls? And what about their candidates? If there is a recall election, for Governor Walker, who are the biggest names?
I've been reading a lot about World War II. Nighttime reading, not the taxpayers are not paying me to read about World War II. But in World War II, there were some American generals who were viewed as lucky generals. Eisenhower was viewed as lucky, for example, when the weather cleared up on the morning of D-Day.
D-Day.
Omar Bradley was viewed as lucky, although he was a very talented guy. And there were some American generals who were just viewed as unlucky. And I think that the Democratic Party in the last 6 months has been just plain unlucky. They lost the Supreme Court election by a hair. Mm-hmm. They theoretically should have been able to win three races against Republican incumbents in the first round of the recall elections. Just plain unlucky. And I don't think that they're dispirited. I don't think they're demoralized. I think they're as excited in their base as they are as Republicans are excited with their base.
Well, if there's a recall election, who might be the D? What do you believe Mr. Feingold's future to be?
I am the only person in Wisconsin who thinks that Russ Feingold will never again be on the ballot.
Okay. Now,
I served with Russ. I sat next to him for 2 years. And he's an amazing guy, very focused, a workaholic. But I think he says to himself, I was elected to three terms in the U.S. Senate.
18 years in the U.S. Senate.
I'm sort of enjoying not being elected.
Writing a book. I've got. Right. I'm teaching a class.
I think people have to understand what it means to be a candidate in a statewide election. I remember running into Tom Barrett once, and it was in one of his races for governor. I think the first one when he lost the primary against Jim Doyle. And of course, I said to him, we were former colleagues from the state legislature. I said, "How's it going?" And he said, "It's a big state." And what he meant by that is, no matter all the electronic technology that we now have, if you have to drive from Superior to Green Bay, you know, or from Milwaukee to La Crosse, you're spending a lot of time in a car. You're living in a car.
And you're dialing for dollars as someone else drives the vehicle.
While you're in the car,
yes.
And you're living off of fast food. Now, I don't think Russ Feingold wants to do that anymore.
Well, Tom Barrett, let's talk about him. Ran in 2002, lost in a primary to Governor Doyle, and ran last year against Scott Walker, finished second. Do you think Tom Barrett would want a third bite at the run for Governor Apple in a recall election involving Governor Walker?
No.
You don't?
I think that he feels he did his duty to the Democratic Party, and he found out that the voters, for whatever reason, would not make him governor. I think he enjoys being mayor both for what he gets to do policy-wise and for the lifestyle it gives him with his family. He lives in Milwaukee. His kids go to school in Milwaukee. He sees his family every night compared to when he was a congressman. I just don't think he wants to do it. And I'll tell you who I think the candidate is going to be if there's a recall. It's going to be a no-name Democrat. It's going to be a vanilla envelope Democrat.
With no chance to win?
With every chance to win.
With every chance to win.
Because they've got a D next to their name. And so maybe one of the
who are some potential names here?
I'm not going to mention names, but maybe one of the state senators.
Okay.
Let me tell you why I think that. When Gaylord Nelson ran against Governor Thompson, Vernon Thompson, Gaylord Nelson was the Senate Minority Leader. He was a nobody. So this would be, I think, 1962, if I've got it right. He didn't expect to win. He was the sacrificial lamb. He thought it would just give him a little experience of a statewide race, and then maybe 2 years later, because in those days, governors had two-year terms.
Yes, that's right.
Maybe in 2 years, he'd run a serious race. And to everybody's surprise, including his own, he won. And he won not because people say, I love Gaylord Nelson. It was because they said, I'm unhappy with the incumbent governor.
Vernon Thompson.
Gaylord Nelson was the no-name Democrat who happened to be lucky. And that's what I think is going to happen if there is a recall of Governor Walker.
Okay. Someone who most Wisconsin voters cannot name will be the D if there is a recall election.
Right.
Okay. So you think Governor Walker will again engage in some very emotional issues in the fall session and the spring session. That potentially could stoke the fires of those that want to recall him, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Let's turn to presidential. What have you seen in the first 7.5 months of Wisconsin politics in this amazing year? How do you think President Obama fares in Wisconsin? Cast it out about 15 months now.
Right. I think he's got as good a chance as Democratic nominees have had in the last 3 or 4 Wisconsin elections. Because when we go back to the Supreme Court race and we see how close it was.
7,000 votes out of 175.
Democratic candidates for president in Wisconsin have tended to win Wisconsin, even though it was a battleground state. Sometimes have won it by this much, but they've won it. And so you might almost say that Democratic nominees for president in Wisconsin have been lucky. The Democratic Party has been lucky. So I think President Obama will view Wisconsin as a battleground state and will win Wisconsin for the same reasons that Democratic candidates for president have won Wisconsin in the last, what was it, 4 or 5 times out.
And who do you think is a student of politics will be the Republican nominee?
Oh, gosh.
Bachman takes Iowa straw poll. Mr. Paul finished 2nd. And parachuting into the race, the Texas governor. You're a student of political scientist. I'm calling you out here. Make a prediction.
Okay, I'll predict the base chooses. In other words, they don't select a nominee based on electability.
Okay.
You know, for a primary voter, somebody who's voting in the presidential primary, they can say to themselves, I might not like so-and-so, but I think so-and-so can defeat President Obama. When you're talking about the true believers, including Governor Walker and the Republican legislature, when you're talking about true believers who believe in what talk radio says, the conservative, social values kind of voter, I think because they're true believers, they're going to vote for the true believer. And so presumably it's Michelle Bachman or it's Governor Perry of Texas.
Okay.
I doubt Ron Paul can pull it off.
So you think it'll be one of those?
We have to think about 4 years ago when Senator McCain became the nominee. To me, that was a fluke. You know, he was the only moderate in the race. So how did he survive the primaries? He survived the primaries by letting the conservatives knock each other off.
Right.
And he was sort of like the last man standing. And there were plenty of Republicans who hated McCain for being the maverick he was, for disagreeing publicly with so many things that President George W. Bush had done. And they were really holding their noses when he was the nominee. But it's so interesting that once he wrapped up the nomination, he shifted from being a maverick to being a true blue conservative.
Mm-hmm.
He took on the standard sort of anti-tax, anti-government kind of rhetoric. So he was not running for president as the Republican nominee as a maverick. He was running as sort of the vanilla, no-name Republican nominee.
U.S. Senate, Senator Cole's seat.
Gosh.
Let's talk Tommy first. You know, you saw the news item yesterday. He's reunited with Jim Clouser, his
Svengali.
Thank you, good term. But Ted Kanivas is interested, and Jeff Fitzgerald hasn't closed the door, and Senator Frank Lissay out of the door. So let's talk Republicans, U.S. Senate. Can Tommy make a comeback?
I think not. And it's not out of any personal animus on my part. I like Tommy. I always had a good relationship with him. We both served in the assembly together. I was a state senator when he was governor. I like him. I like his brand of Republican politics. But I think his time has passed. I think
that... Is he too moderate? Or
I think he's too moderate. He believes in government. I think anybody who runs against him will run the kind of ad that Tea Party talk radio will like. They'll say, under Governor Thompson, state spending went up 1,000,000%, whatever it is. And I think it's going to kill him in the primary. He would be electable in the general, but I'm not sure that he's electable in the primary.
Okay.
Now, I'm also guessing, and I want you to delete this tape if I'm wrong. I want an 18-minute
no,
blank
Wisconsin
tape.
I is keeping a permanent record. You're on notice. Go ahead, say it.
Tammy Baldwin.
Yes.
Now,
she's going to run, no doubt about it.
There's no doubt about it. I don't think anybody serious is going to oppose her. I think she's going to be the Democratic
nominee.
You don't
think Congressman Kine's going to oppose her?
No, because he doesn't have the up or out stomach for it.
Okay.
In politics, if if you have to give up a position you like to run for something that you'd like to have, but saying to yourself, if I ran for it and lost, I would kick myself for having given up something I like doing. Mm-hmm. When I gave up my seat in the state assembly to run for state senate, I did not look back. I burned the bridges behind me. I said to myself, I would be happier being out of politics than going back to the assembly. I think Congressman Ryan and Congressman Kind are in Congress for the career.
Okay.
So Tammy Baldwin is the Democratic nominee, and it'll be interesting to see if the issue of her gender orientation is an issue. I'm guessing it would not be as much of an issue in 2012 as it would have been, let's say, in 2000.
Right.
But we really have never had an openly gay candidate run for statewide office in that sense. We had a congressman who came out of, and said, there's Steve Gunderson, and said, yes, it's true, I'm gay. But he never faced the electorate.
Yes, after making that
right.
statement.
So
who do you think's the Republican nominee if it's not Tommy?
Any standard issue Tea Party talk radio, whether it's a Fitzgerald, whether it's Lassay, whether it's cannabis. Mark Newman.
Oh, really? Okay. So that would be kind of that would offer voters a very distinct choice. Okay, we're almost out of time. With Wisconsin voters so polarized on Governor Walker, you've seen the numbers, margin of error 47-48, less than 5% don't have an opinion. Let's assume there's no recall election. Can Governor Walker be reelected in 2014, Mordecai?
2014 is a long time.
It's an eternity, my friend, and you know it.
Right. I'm guessing that his numbers won't get better, that people are frozen in their feelings about him. It happened with the collective bargaining bill, and public opinion has not moved an inch since the collective bargaining bill. So he would face a tough reelection, but if a state Supreme Court candidate from the conservative side gets reelected when Democrats throw everything against him,
yes.
then presumably, just like I'm predicting that President Obama could win Wisconsin, assuming Democrats are lucky, I think Governor Walker could get reelected, assuming he's lucky.
Okay. Then, since time is drawing near, U.S. Let's talk about our state Supreme Court. Do we need to, given the emotion on both sides, a 4-3, conservative bloc, do we need to stop electing Supreme Court justices?
I know that professors are known for talking in lecture-length answers, but it's not going to take me 50 minutes to answer your question.
Okay, because we don't have it.
The answer to your question is one word, yes. We've
Time.
Got to change okay. how we select the state Supreme Court. And it's gotten worse and worse, more openly partisan, more openly ideological, more money, astounding amounts of money. We're heading in a direction that we just have to stop.
Do you actually see that change being seriously offered, debated, and made?
No, because whoever is in the majority on the Supreme Court, their partisans in the state legislature and in the governorship, they like it. They're winning.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is like Middle Eastern politics.
Okay.
If you've got the upper hand, if you're winning, why should you bargain? And if you're on the losing side, why would you bargain from a position of weakness? So I'm afraid that Wisconsin politics have become like Israel-Arab politics. Just they'll talk about talking, but they'll never change anything.
And then final question. We're here in a season of recalls. There's two more recalls today. Representative Robin Voss, an emerging leader in the state assembly, is going to offer a constitutional change to scale back the criteria for recalls. Is it too easy in Wisconsin to force a recall election now?
I would go farther than Representative Voss. I would abolish recalls.
Abolish?
Because the only justification for taking somebody out of office, it seems to me, is a misbehavior that rises to the level of a felony. And as it turns out in Wisconsin, if a state legislator or any elected official is convicted of a felony, they're automatically removed from office. So I'm philosophically against recalls, and I support the direction that Representative Voss is going.
You would wipe it out?
I'd wipe it out.
Okay. And have you had fun as a political scientist and a former legislator watching the 7.5 months? Or has it been scary,
no.
keeping you up at night?
No. It's been great because I'm just an observer. There are some benefits to being in the ivory tower.
I understand. Professor Mordecai Lee, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you,
Steve.
I
really appreciate it. Good to see you again.